One side of the history is how it's invented by students. They had not enough money to play ice hockey with a lot of protection and a lot of items to buy. They want a sport that's super easy, like soccer, like football, to have just the ball and maybe one gadget to play it. And then they went invented floorball. It's played since the late 80s or early 90s in Switzerland. And so we are quite a young sport. We have next year, we have 40 years of Swiss Junior Hockey in Switzerland.
This is the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast, showcasing outstanding startups and initiatives in the global sports tech ecosystem. From Sports Tech X, the leading source for data and insights about sports tech. Here is your host, Roan Malhotra.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast. This month, we're only talking to sports teams, leagues, or federations discussing their key challenges when it comes to the topic of innovation. And one of the things that I love to do is learn new things and discover whatever it might be, an opportunity, a challenge, and sometimes a new sport. I will be honest, I did not know much about floorball or unihockey, as it is called in some parts of Europe. But I have a great guest to tell us all about it. I've got Sven Körner. He is the digitalization and innovation lead at the Swiss Unihockey team. Welcome to the show, Sven.
Hi, Ron. Thanks. Nice to meet you.
To set the context for our audience, Sven is a former athlete. He's played professional uni hockey. So he is somebody who's played the sport for a long time and now has gone into an administrative role. But even in that administrative role is looking at sports innovation, which is, of course, our topic, which we love to talk about. So Sven, I want to leave the floor to you to first educate our listeners, because I certainly needed a bit of education. I did a quick bit of YouTubing and Googling before we started, but I found it super interesting. Please tell us a little bit about what floorball or uni hockey is. What is the sport about? And then what is your story as an athlete and now somebody working in the sport?
Yeah, thank you, Ron. Yeah, floorball, uni hockey, it's interesting. So in English, we call it floorball. And also in the rest of Europe, they call it floorball almost also in Germany, they call it floorball since some years. In Sweden, it's innebandy, and in Finland, it's salibandy. So there's a little bit history behind. And in Switzerland, we call it uni hockey. It don't has to do something with uni, with university or something, just with universal hockey. So that's a little bit, we have two sides of history. One side of the history is how it's invented by students. They had not enough money to play ice hockey with a lot of protection and a lot of items to buy. They want a sport that's super easy, like soccer, like football, to have just the ball and maybe one gadget to play it. And then they went invented floorball. It's played since the late 80s or early 90s in Switzerland. And so we are quite a young sport. We have next year, we have 40 years of Swiss Junior Hockey in Switzerland. So the anniversary. So it's really young. And I'm not that much surprised that some people around the globe don't know it, because it's every time the same reaction when someone of us is at an international convention or something, say, yeah, I'm from floorball. Okay, what's that, floorball? Then we show, as you said, we show some YouTube videos and they say, oh, wow, that's super fast, that's super dynamic. And then always two questions came up. Why? I don't know something about this. And why is it not so big on the globe? So, and that's pretty much our status now. So young sport, not non-Olympic, so it's a big goal of our sport to get Olympic. Here at this place where I'm working, we have the Swiss Olympic Federation, so it's basically one level underneath us, so I can walk in the bureau and say, hey, guys, come make some steps forward that you're getting Olympic. No, there's of course political discussions and how other sports are developing with smaller playing structures. And yeah, that's the sport side. And for my side, I'm working at Swiss Junior K since August, and I played floorball almost all lifetime. Since I'm 7 years old, I'm playing floorball. So I started in school, in Swiss schools. It's really popular to play floorball. Of course, soccer and football. But then I think floorball is the next one, because we are also the second biggest team sports federation in Switzerland. So it's really popular. And I played. I was a goalkeeper by myself, so I'm pretty tall, and it's a big advantage for me to cover a lot of the goal. And I played at Floorball Könitz, and then also in Thun. There are two cities around Bern. 8 years in the highest league, and when we say professional, the level is professional, but it was not my full time job, so I cannot. Earn enough money in this young sport, but also a huge goal of Swiss Junior K to get our sport professionalized and getting some pro athletes in the future. And now at the moment we have some semi-pro athletes in our national teams. There's a big way around or with the military education. They get in the program of a specialized military program, and they can do sports almost maybe half of the year. They can get paid by the federation, by the military, and the other they have to work maybe like 50 or 60%. But I think it's a good step forward for our sport, because now we are increasing so super fast. Our CEO started like 17 years ago not 17 years, 10 years ago maybe, with 17 people in our office of the federation. Mm-hmm. Now we are like 47 people, so we are growing really fast. And also the budget is rising, maybe not that fast, but it's rising, and it's super important to have our clubs, our sponsors on board to produce a really cool product, innovative, dynamic product. For our community that is really able to get an international sport that is in the biggest window from the Olympics that we can have in the future.
Interesting. So you obviously, of course, like any growing sport, you want to keep that momentum growing. You want to attract more players, which can attract more broadcasters, more sponsors, all of that. And that's a nice virtuous cycle of a growing sport. Just for anybody who maybe missed it a bit, so floorball is basically five-a-side indoor hockey, right? Is that a decent description? You play with a similar size or slightly smaller net than hockey does, than field hockey. Mm-hmm. So is it bigger than an ice hockey rink? Is it about the same size?
It's similar to ice hockey.
Similar to ice hockey, similar goal size, similar, let's say, playing area, but you play it on, let's say, wooden board. So you play it in any time of the year.
Wooden was a little bit before we played. We played on modern indoor floors. So right. It's like on handball, not I think basketball is more on this parquet, right. wooden floor. But it's basically like this, similar to ice hockey, but I will compare it to like American football and rugby. Ice hockey is with protection, and we don't have protection. Just the goalkeeper has a mask on, some equipment that he don't get hurt too much, but we don't, as a goalkeeper, we don't cover that much like in ice hockey. So it's really authentic and real sport, I would say, where you really see where your skills are. You cannot cover too much with your equipment, and you have to play really technically, and the players are really athletic to prevent the forces when you have a lot of stop and go, like in mm-hmm. like in tennis maybe, and there are a lot of forces for the ankles, for the muscles. So it's a really, really physical, tough
physically sport. Taxing sport. Got it. Where is it big? Which are the countries? So obviously you mentioned Switzerland, it's one of the biggest sports. You mentioned, I think, Finland and Iceland, was it? So if they have a separate word for it, I'm sure they play it quite a bit. Germany maybe a great. So where else? Is it only primarily in Europe? Is it played anywhere else?
Mm-hmm. It was Sweden, actually. Sweden, Scandinavia. Sorry. Sweden, Finland, Czech Republic, Switzerland are the top four nations.
Okay.
Then we have other like Norway, Latvia, Germany are also coming. I think also in Berlin there's played floorball, and in the southern parts of Germany.
Okay.
So they're basically like Slovakia, Austria, Italy, France. They're coming. So mostly in Europe. But we have also... Last year was the World Cup of Women's World Cup of the national team was in Singapore, played. So they're really trying to get it to Asia, to this Pacific room. We have also teams from the US and Canada. They always play like a playoff, USA versus Canada, to get the winner to the World Cup. And I think the South American countries, also Africa, they have some teams. But of course, they are developing. That's one big part of our national and international federation to look where are the fields we can develop the next new community. Yeah, because it's
Saudi, important. Saudi, Sven. You got to go to Saudi Arabia. That's where all the money is.
They really?
Put money in all the sports. You gotta go to the Gulf. Yeah.
Maybe that's one next step after the Women's World Cup. Maybe one Men's World Cup down there. I don't know how sports fans are down there.
If anybody's listening from, I don't know, Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, if you're interested in hosting a floorball tournament or uni hockey tournament, get in touch with Sven. All right, Sven. Now, I mean, I think we set the context pretty well of where the sport is. It's fast growing. It's like hockey, but indoors. So it's more flexible. It's easier to play, more accessible as well. But you specifically work in innovation in by your own admission, a pretty small sport. Now, I found that super interesting when we came across your profile, because I know a lot of large teams for large sports like football, like cricket, which is a very big sport played in many parts of the world. They usually don't have people looking at this topic of innovation and digitalization, digital transformation, strategy, forward thinking, whatever you want to call it, right? The fact that the Swiss Federation has somebody in that role, I found super interesting. So, help me understand that. What is, let's say, your goal as an innovation leader within the organization? What are you trying to help them, help the Swiss Federation do, or maybe the leagues do?
I don't really know exactly why other sports don't have people like me in this role. That's really difficult to answer. I think it depends how or what is really the priority now from the sport. Does you want to grow the community or give a better fan engagement, life experience, whatever, and how much money you have to execute this. And I think basically in Switzerland, in all sports, we are a small country with around 9 million people. So we have a limited group of potential people that are can be the top players of our sport. So we are not like India or the US that they can select really the best players. And when someone skip out the squad, then they take the next one. So it's not that big. So we have our schools, we have some junior, some youth leagues, and then it's getting, it's like a pyramid, like to the top. And I think that the resources are limited in Switzerland. So we have to be innovative. That's our only chance, I think, to be in the international competition and to win something. Because I think in Sweden and Finland, so the top two countries since we are starting playing in World Cups, there the political system or the social system are a little bit different, and sports has a bigger value in their society. So in Switzerland, with our democratic system, we have a huge range of different sports, of single sports, of team sports, and all the money is split on all these sports. So, and also the resources of the players. So every run is fighting for people to get in the system. And I mean, now at the moment, we have 35,000 licensed players, women and men. And I think we are also a sport where the gap between men and women is not that big, because we have our cup final and our championship super final are played women and men in the same venue at the same time. So I think we are in Switzerland one of, or maybe the only sport that get women and men together in one venue. And it was a strategic decision. It don't have to be, regarding innovation, it's more, how do you call this? Not technical innovation, but it's how to develop our sport.
Yeah, it's a different way of thinking, yeah.
Yeah, it's a different way of thinking. And I think it was a strategic decision to do like super final. So our championship on the highest level is played like quarterfinal and semifinal playoffs, best of seven series. And then the final, one game, like the Super Bowl. One game is decided day X. And the good thing is the final is played in big hockey arenas, like with 9,000 spectators. And it's a super cool setup for also the broadcasters, for sponsors, to have this big event. Because our league, the daily leagues, are played in arenas like maybe 1,000 or 2,000 spectators. So it's just to think about, you want to have 1,000 spectators seven times maximum, or you want to have 9,000 spectators one time in one arena, sure. Big atmosphere. And it's really cool to play it. I played it also in 2016. Sadly, we lost it, but it was a super, super intense game. And in the same season, we won the cup final. It's also played in a big arena in Bern. And it's since years, I think it's the right decision to have this in our sport, to have the biggest national window to present our sport. And now regarding you asking about my role.
What are the main areas that you're looking at, and what are the biggest challenges that you face when it comes to innovation?
Yeah, of course. I'm in the IT department of our federation. So we have really two guys. They are system engineers. They are supporting our systems. And my role is to have the overview over all projects in our federation. So we think the driver of innovation should be, or the ideas should come from the business, so from the department, and not, it should not be technology driven. But as experience shows, mostly it's technology that drives the business, but mostly it should be other way around, that you really have the requirements of the community, of the stakeholders. And my job is to a little bit change this mind. It's a little bit mindset change to make maybe my ideas, because I see your reports. I see, okay, what's going on in sports tech, in other sports, in other countries, what is working there. And I have my personal network in this. I could build this maybe like the last 6 years when I get started to be interested in sports tech. And I was working beside maybe 90 or 100%. So that was really in free time. But now it's my full-time job, 100%. Mm-hmm. And so it's really I'm the leader of this project to drive them forward together with the people from the business departments in our federation. So I'm the one who try to a little bit steer some discussions also in the projects. So I try to give some inputs. Hey, okay, look at this. Look at new things, maybe in paddle tennis or something, or what is working in other sports, and giving just some inputs that they get some ideas, and then they start they start to have this drive by themselves. So that's really one of my biggest challenges, I think. Not really the technical solutions. I think we live in a world we can build almost everything. Sure. It just depends on resources, on money and time and people and the right, a little bit of luck, the right decisions at the right time. But I think for us as a small sport, it's all about people in the community. Do we really build solutions for them they really can use and they see the added value? So that's one of the biggest challenges.
Interesting. Can you give me an example of something as a project or as a solution that you've helped build for the Federation, for the Swiss Uni Hockey community?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We were looking at a streaming partner. So we're basically live streaming our games of the highest league, women and men. Mm-hmm. And this is like since 8 to 10 years. And we've done it on a known platform, just you web-based, have access to the games for free at the moment. You can watch all games. So then we had the decision to make, okay, we want to go to a streaming provider like Twitch, YouTube, other in Switzerland, there are a lot of private streaming providers. We want to go there and follow the OTT platform solution way, or we want to build something that we get engaged with our fans or have a fan engagement platform. So then we decided to really build a fan engagement platform, which is helping us to democratize the sport. So now we have a platform, it's called Swiss Uni Hockey Hub. We have the possibility there to stream every game of our league, because you can now go to a junior game, you can take your phone and set it and press live stream, and we have it on our platform. And I think that was one of the best strategic decisions, because then we own the content and have the control of our own content. So I think for the future, data is so important to have it in our hands. And I think that's one project. We released it maybe 1 year ago, and now we have over 50,000 users, and it's growing. And we want to develop it, of course, because at the moment it's still for free. And we are talking about a paywall that we also get some money and get some money back to the clubs that they are developing. Because I think that's one of our most goals, to develop the clubs and get more professional structures.
Makes sense. So did you work with a partner to develop it, or you just hired an agency? Like how did you execute this project?
Mm-hmm. We have a partner. It's called Sportsvik. They're from Sweden.
Umeå. Hey, Martin has been on this podcast.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't
Martin
know
Wiklund.
It. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Martin Wiklund. Okay. Then I have to talk to Martin. Yes, that's our partner, and they now have some success because they're going to the US to the youth soccer leagues, the Swedish Federation. So I don't have to talk too much, because your community is knowing him.
Maybe for the new listeners who might have not heard that episode. So Sportsvik is as Sven described it, is basically it's a broadcasting a platform to help sports teams, leagues, federations broadcast their sport. So they will take you online, they'll help you build a distribution hub, so you can help you record the content, get it on a streaming platform, and then distribute it through whatever channels you choose, either directly on your website, you want to push it to socials, you want to push it to other, let's say, common platforms, YouTube, etc. So that's kind of what Sportsvik does, and it's good to hear that they do it for you guys.
Yes, nice description. I like this. Because, I think it really helps. It's really simple to get fans interacted. When they're watching the stream, they write, okay, let's go, red team, or I don't know. And also in the arenas itself. So it's really getting fans engaged. And we're going this way, and also developing some parts with them together. Yeah.
Good stuff. Okay, cool. So that's it. I think that's the first job, I guess, for you as an innovation leader, to how do we increase the reach of our sport, right? So it's getting more fans, and the big part of that is actually broadcasting it, getting more people to watch it, and hopefully drive some commerce through it, because you can get broadcast, you get some numbers around viewership, you can hopefully get some sponsors, you get some more money, and then you put it back in the cycle and try to build the sport. So that's from the fans' perspective. Is there something on the athlete side, say for performance analytics or tracking and improvement or recovery, others, are those areas that you also look at as a federation? Or how do you address those?
Yes, of course. And I think this will be the next big step for floorball, because at the moment we provide almost zero data. So we have, of course, the teams have their statistics, but they are not connected to us, to the federations. We have also our national teams. They're working with Dartfish. Maybe you know it also. Mm-hmm. It's a camera tracking system, video analytics tool, and they're working with it. And then we're planning with some other companies, they providing automated tags, automated videos. I think this will be the next big step, to have this automated infrastructure, because like in every sport, you need some volunteers to have the TV production, because we produce it by ourselves. It's right. Not the Swiss national television that comes to every game. We have it now in the playoffs. We have some TV games in the biggest national broadcaster, or we have only one, but it's not that big. But we need some innovative solutions to get really high quality of our content, and I think that's the next big step. And out of this, we want to get some data to also develop our athletes, health management, athlete management, and on and on and on, like in other big sports. Yeah.
Fantastic. I think that's super interesting to hear that a young sport is investing in innovation and trying to find the right partners for you to help grow the sport. Because you don't have to go to a traditional broadcaster and say, hey, can you put our sport on your channel or something? Well, yeah, there are better, smarter ways to do it. Find the right partner, like a Sportswic, like others in the region that we know of. And similarly, I guess you will find partners on the analytics side. Apart from these, let's say we talked just a bit about fan, a bit about athlete, what areas do you personally get most interested by? Like when it comes to innovation or forward thinking in sports, like what is the next wave that you're like, oh, maybe it's a bit, I can see the smile already coming out, Sven. It's like you've got something ready you want to talk about. So maybe not only connected to uni hockey or floorball, maybe for other sports as well, but what personally interests you the most?
Yeah, for me, it's human interaction technologies like mixed reality, augmented reality, virtual reality.
Have you tried an Apple Vision Pro yet?
Apple Vision Pro, not. I had HoloLens and different other, but we have some connections to some companies to get involved there. And I think also the big advantage of Switzerland is that we have small direct ways to other sports club, like in ice hockey, and they are not that far away from us. Of course, they are a club, they have their own resources and their own arenas, they have a better environment for this, but the way how to invent some things or develop some things, it's similar topics, but maybe as a federation it's a little bit different use case than a club. But for me, I think this human interaction technologies, as I learned, we can call it. And for me, that it's the next big thing, because I started like 6 years ago with an own idea and tried some things with innovation labs in Switzerland and also the ETH Zurich, our university, with another company from Bern, who is developing some AR applications. We tried something for a goalkeeper training in AR. So when you have a ball tracking and see some additional information.
I saw this on your profile, Project Iceman, you call it,
yes,
I believe.
Yes.
So yeah, maybe now you can walk us through it a bit. So it's like using VR to train goalkeepers. Well, you're a goalkeeper, so you started from there. But using VR to train goalkeepers to, I guess, be better at their sport.
Yeah, the vision is like I want a tool or a process or something to train like the decision-making abilities of a player. Mm-hmm. Because I think we can talk about physical skills, we can talk about technical skills.
But cognitive at the end.
Yeah, at the end, I think it's cognitive development, and I think it's also super important for floorball because it's so fast. You have to make so much decisions in so less time, because I think floorball is one of the fastest or the fastest team indoor sports. Yeah, it's faster than ice hockey or handball, and you have to, especially for a goalkeeper, you have to decide, is it a 2-1 situation or you have more players? So I think it will help, especially youth players, not of course, the pro athletes to get the last percentage. So maybe from, mm-hmm. from 85 to 89%, or no, sorry, 95 to 98 98%. So the last percentages of this on this level, okay, it's decisive. But I think in the youth sports, when you learn how to play, to understand how the play works, I think it's the technology that will help us to train young athletes with this, like a personal assistant coach or something, a digital AI assistant coach, something like this. And I know there's something happening, but for this we need a lot of infrastructure and data. But this project Iceman, as I call it, Iceman for me is a is an objective. I like sports. I like athletes that they are in hectical situations or in difficult situations, and they are really able to decide really. Cool down mind, like maybe Roger Federer in his prime. Okay, he knows, okay, when he's under pressure, then the next service is an ace through the middle or something. And I think that's, the mental strength of these athletes are so good on this level, but I think they trained and worked really hard for this. So it's not given by talent, I think. You have to train it really hard.
You have to develop it, which is why a tool to develop it makes a lot of sense. I thought you were maybe a Top Gun fan as well. Iceman comes from there. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, maybe also. Yeah.
Maybe also. But very cool. Okay, so I think we've got a good sense of what interests you personally, Sven, as well. Coming back to you as an organization, we've covered some stuff around like where you think the opportunity is around fan or around performance, where you think the future is. What was the term that you use? Human interaction technology, something like that?
Yeah, I learned it. I'm at the education at the moment, and they call it like this. It's from a book, maybe you know it, 21st Century Sports.
No, I don't know that one. I've heard spatial computing, of course, which is what Apple calls it, but human interaction technology. I like that one. I'm going to use that one.
Yeah. It's more the layer. Sorry, it's more the technical layer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. So that's about forward looking. But in dealing with all this innovation, what are the biggest challenges or barriers that stop you from implementing? Is it budget? You don't have enough time or resources, let's say. You don't have enough time, money, people. Is there a culture of innovation, or maybe you just don't have enough good partners to select from, that you have to build everything yourself because you're a small sport? What stops you from achieving your innovation goals?
That's a good question, because I think we have some innovation, but of course maybe we could have more. But I think in the federation, it's maybe like in every federation, we have limited resources. Like I talked in Switzerland, but I think that the daily business at the moment is we had to take too much effort to do our daily business. So I think there's the part of digitalization to have increasing of efficiency in our office, in our business part. But then we have the sports and innovation part, where we want to develop our sport. So I think it's to find the right balance between this, because we are in an international competition. So when you have an NPO organization just of the federation or something in Switzerland of the government, they are not really in an international competition. But we as sports federation, we want to win the World Cup. So we want to be the best. So we also are looking that we have the best, or we are developing our structure and digitalize some processes internally when it comes to collaboration internally or with our stakeholders. We're looking at this, and we have some really strong partners. We are really going in a way with Microsoft really hard. Not that how can I say it? Not freeware. Open source way. Mm-hmm. So we want to really set a high standard that is known from our community to have this business part. And then, of course, the sports development, we have to look at the budgets. We have to find the right time to go to our sponsors, because I think we have good innovative sponsors in Switzerland, and they really also willing to invest in sports. But you have to have a really good use case. That's really the added value is given. So I think it's really of developing a package that you can sell to our sponsors and present it in a way that they really see, okay, with this we get the next level in floorball of development. So I think, because I'm also a tech guy, I have a technical background, and we love to talk about technical solutions and all this stuff. And as I mentioned before, I think the technical part is not that big or not the problem. It's about people business. So we need to have the right people at the right time and get the right adoption for some solutions, and we try a really agile approach in this development to define some MVPs and then go and take maybe also some risks, and that we need to be brave to go forward and get some experience and feedback from the community. Yeah.
Makes sense. That I like that you ended there, that you have to take risks and you might lose a bit of time, lose a bit of money, but at the end, the possible outcome that could come can be so much more successful than you even imagined. So that's a great approach, and great to hear. Like I said, a young sport, a young organization with big goals. You want to win the World Cup. That's a big goal. And how do you get there? You have to innovate and keep trying. Great stuff. Sven, to end on a note, where do you see what's coming up next for Swiss Uni Hockey, let's say? What is the next development? What is the next goal? And how does innovation play a role in that?
Mm-hmm. I think that really the data part is one of the biggest things is coming next. So automated broadcasting, then some data, some advanced stats. We also using at the moment some expected goals models, but it's then depending of staff members if they really like it or not. And we want to develop like a super dynamic, flexible platform where we can get some stats out of this. Where we can get some information about the playing intelligence. We call it like this, or performance intelligence. So it's not about just the real stats or the metadata. We really want to have something where we can say, okay, in this situation, it was not really a clever decision to go in there, or some stuff like this. And we're also working together with other federations and looking if we can team up for this part or for the sports development. Then of course we have this commercial part. Gladly, I'm not in the lead there. So we have different parts, and also development of the hub with Sportsvik. We have an own project manager for this. So I'm just more in my role. I'm more to provide the interconnection between our systems internally. So we also have some old legacy systems. We have to cut them off. So it's really to get Swiss Uni Hockey in a position where we have a stable foundation and then can build up, like building a house. So we need a new stable foundation that is state of the art, and then we can go forward. So I really like or want to see floorball in 5 or 10 years in more countries around the world, maybe Olympic sport. That's the international part, and in Switzerland, of course, rising and rising again, and have this second position in the ranking. And also in the sports tech map, it's something that Switzerland is not yet really on the map. We have some good startups in Switzerland, but of course other countries are bigger. But I think with our place of science and innovation, we need to go more into this. And I think in the last 2 years, something is happening. But I think they are just separate parts and not working together too much. But I think now it's something is happening in Switzerland in this topic.
And that's what we're here to talk about and write about. You, of course, have one of the biggest sports tech companies in the world, Sportradar, which is a Swiss company. So that example is there for all other companies to see that you can really build a very large enterprise coming out of Switzerland. So, let's see what the next wave of entrepreneurs comes up with. Sven, it has been an absolute pleasure talking to you. And thanks so much for introducing us, me especially, and also our listeners now to a bit of floorball. I don't know how many of them would have heard of the sport before, but I think I would recommend to anybody listening, go check out some highlights, go check out some videos. It is pretty exciting. The passion in the crowd and all of that, it looks like a lot of fun. Sven, I want to end with my favorite question to ask, and especially I like to ask this of former athletes. What has been your favorite sporting moment? So either you can tell me a moment as a fan, but I'd be more curious perhaps to hear about your favorite moment as an athlete, looking back on your time in floorball.
Of course, winning some titles in the highest league or also youth league is always really cool. Also in other team, I had we played a league relegation that we don't fall down in the second league. Right. And there I have one of the craziest series I ever played, because it was also best of seven series. Every time the home team wins, so the lower team in the lower league had the advantage of the home game. So we played till game seven, and then we were maybe like 3-2 in behind, and then get to equal the score and going to overtime in game seven. And then we won this game in overtime, game seven. That was really something of the craziest stuff.
For relegation and promotion, that you know of. It's scarier than the championship.
That moment. And we were able to hold the league. And then 1 year after, I ended my career. So I can say, okay, I really played all my time in the highest league. And also one of my biggest success, I would say, I never had like a major injury, even with my height and my weight for a goalkeeper, because we are always moving and shifting on our knees. 1 meter, 96.
196. Okay, that's a big boy.
So almost 2 meters and over 100 kilos. So, I think it's a big, big success to be or to train the whole career like this. To be fit. Also, I'm now 30 years old. So in other sports, you're still playing on the highest level, but now the most players are quitting with 30 years. So I think they are the most successes or sporting highlights, and also together with my teammates, they are now friends for life. So I think that's really cool about this.
Powerful stuff. Thank you so much for sharing, Sven.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Also to hear about you winning, also hear about you that relegation battle. And I really like your last one, that just to stay fit, to be healthy, to be able to play as much as you could. That's to count that as a success. You know, you take some of these things for granted. the fact that you appreciate that is great. Sven, thank you once again for taking the time to join us. Thank you for educating us on floorball. And yeah, we'll be curious to hear more about your sport and see it in more places. You mentioned Berlin. I have to take details from you where I can catch the sport in Berlin. I have to go watch a game.
Yeah, you have to Google it. I think you're finding something.
Super. Yes. All right. Thanks so much
thank
for your time.
Thank you very much, Ron. Thank you. It was a pleasure.
All right, guys, that is a wrap for another episode. You learned so much, floorball, and I have to go and find a game in Berlin to watch. This is part of our series of talking to various leaders in sports organizations, some big, emerging, well-established names, some new up-and-comers trying to make their own name in the world of sports. Lots of insights to glean from both categories. See you guys next week. Ciao.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast with Rohan Malhotra. If you like our show, let us know and leave a review. And if you want to know more about us, check out sportstechx.com, where you can find our latest industry reports and updates. For a deeper dive into all things sports tech, check out our comprehensive database, SportsTechDB, at sportstechdb.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us at SportsTechX on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Join us next time for another insightful conversation with a leader in sports tech.